Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
The James Monroe Museum, our focus this morning. If you have not been to the James Monroe Museum at 908 Charles Street downtown, you need to get right over there. We're going to talk about a number of programs. And I think this is the first time when we have talked about the James Monroe Museum and we have not had Scott Harris here. I have done better, though, than Scott Harris this morning. We have, and we have a president in studio with us. Jay Harrison is here, although I think he will identify himself as Mr. Monroe. President Monroe, it's nice to have you in studio. An honor to have you here, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Schubel. It's good to be back in the town of Fredericksburg to see you as well. Thank you very much for the kind invitation.
The only person here, well, I'll get to it in a second. Ethan Burgess is here this morning. Ethan, you are dressed as who this morning?
Not a president.
Not a president.
I am in third person interpretation, whereas Mr. or President Monroe here, you would greet in a first person interpretive space. But I'm a modern person wearing 18th century clothes, so it's a little bit easier to talk about these things. But I interpret someone who has indentured servant experience in the 18th century working at a tavern. So I'll be helping out with an event at the James Monroe Museum, serving punch and talking about taverns.
Okay. This is interesting that you're a third person interpretive. I needed to have gotten more up to date on my interpretive skills and knowledge. But it's great to have you here, Ethan.
Thank you.
I've seen you out on the field and in many different roles over the last few years. It's good to have you here. Lindsay Crawford, we're dressed.
I'm modern today.
And I'm so glad you're here.
I'm interpreting myself. I'm Lindsay, the public programs coordinator at the James Monroe Museum.
It's good to have you here. I'm going to start off with you, Lindsay, because your name always comes up, and you're involved with a lot of the programs going on at the James Monroe Museum. Do you have a history background to where this is what you've always wanted to do?
Yes. I blame Mary Washington in the Historic Preservation Department. I majored in Historic Preservation at UMW. Shout out to the department. They basically raised me. Museum Studies minor, and then ended up interning at the James Monroe Museum when I was a senior. And I always joked if they had a job opening, I would love to take it. And sure enough, they did about 6 months later. So I've been here ever since about 2018.
Okay. So you've been through some things and got to go through COVID and navigate all of those waters.
Yeah, that was a rough time. But at the same time, I think we grew a lot. Our online platform grew exponentially. We have Monroe Minutes now. Did a lot of online public programming, which you can still see. So in a ways, we learned from it while we were home for those good 6 months, almost to a year, when we closed again because of the burst again in December. So. Yeah, I'm glad to be back in person, though.
I have always said that during COVID, the James Monroe Museum, you did just some of the curator talks were off the charts as far as being interesting and innovative, and you all did some things before anyone else did.
Yeah, I think it's really important. It was a nice time to actually show we have such a beautiful collection that we don't get to show all the time because of our limited space. So having Jared, he was a famous person, honestly. At 2 o'clock, everyone was logging in every day.
Me included.
Yeah, and seeing the behind the scenes, it was a great time to see some of those artifacts you don't often get to see. So that was a great time, too.
I have a James Monroe bobblehead, I was one of the first to, when I heard they were there, I went over there. The James Monroe, and we'll get into it as we go along this morning, the James Monroe Museum has just some really great stuff. It is really a jewel among museums.
I agree. I'm biased. I have worked at multiple museums downtown, but I'm a little biased that I work there full time. We have a lot there, too, and then I think we're working on a new exhibit to open in 2025. I'll have to let Jared speak on that. But while we're a small space, we try to hit a big impact, so I appreciate the compliments.
So anyway, the James Monroe Museum, 908 Charles Street.
Yes.
Check it out. Ethan, what got you involved in interpreting history and in doing all this? This was obviously something you continue to have a passion for.
Yeah, this was a perfect match to get to work with the James Monroe Museum. I started my historic interpretation career in 2018 at the Rising Sun Tavern. And there I developed a love for talking about the various types of drinks that were available in the 18th century. People think it's, oh, it's just ale, or, you know, or they're just drinking spirits straight, as some people might in modern times. But there's a lot of different ways to enjoy a beverage. In a lot of cases, it's an art form, as is the case with punch. So that's something that I started to study. And about a year ago, I started a business where the entire idea is that I can come to an event or a house, anywhere, if it's an assisted living community or a museum or someone's private party. I can serve up a bowl and talk about the ingredients and the history, everything that comes together in that one bowl, and how it's kind of a moment of community for people sharing it.
How interesting. How difficult was it to find information on this? Was it
there
readily
are
available?
A few books. I mean, you can read quite a few books that talk about taverns in the 18th century. So you just glean for information from each of them. So it's just a matter of synthesizing information and practice.
I've always thought that the Rising Sun Tavern is such an interesting place, because just the conversations that would have gone on there.
Certainly.
In those walls.
Right.
If those walls could speak, kind of thing.
And some parts of the colonies, as many as one in four buildings served as some kind of public house or pub, where, you know, it's not necessarily always a place where there's, you know, rapid imbibation going on, but there are community places. This is where the average person had access to things like entertainment, to see music be played or hear about news being spread, or go and, you know, take dance lessons. You look at Virginia Gazette and you see all different ads for, you know, an itinerant dance master will be at this tavern from these dates. Go learn how to dance. So it's how the average person socialized.
Well, as we go along this morning, we're going to talk about Tavern Night that's coming up on June the 7th. It's a big event with the, and we'll get into that as we go along. President Monroe, you and Mr. Harrison seem to travel a lot together. How long have the two of you been together?
37 and a half years.
37 and a half years.
We had a long association. We began right after, during my days as a delegate to the Continental Congress, we met. And he's been my personal secretary ever since.
And he has helped you along?
He has indeed.
And done a lot of that. What got him interested in helping you out, sir?
His background, his family was very, very devoted to an appreciation of history, local history, and passed that on to him at a very young age. And he was receptive to that and just began exploring. And lo and behold, he got involved at our mutual alma mater, the College of William & Mary in Virginia, in Williamsburg, Virginia. And from there, his career, both as my personal secretary and his interest in museums and archaeology and history, began his own separate career. So he spends a lot of time at the President's House, but he also works for a place called the Smithsonian Institution, Museum of the American Indian. When he's not at the President's House working for me. And he's also a runner, so that's where you've encountered him too.
Yes, I have encountered him in a number of those things. And I know he's a James Monroe grad, isn't he? So, I mean,
he is indeed. So there are some commonalities there.
Right, right. Oh, after all these years. Now, I'm sure he's done a lot of study. I mean, to know the kinds of things, you know, that you have to know from that time period.
He has been very, very attentive to the details. And he's always the perpetual student, as I am as well, as we all are.
Yeah. Well, this is going to be a fascinating show.
I'm looking forward to it.
So we're going to take a quick break and come back and jump into some things going on. And as we talk about the James Monroe Museum this morning, again, 908 Charles Street. If you haven't checked out the James Monroe Museum, you should. Ethan Burgess is here. It is President Monroe, and alongside with Jay Harrison, his secretary, and Lindsay Crawford here, the public programs coordinator. Lindsay, I'm so glad you're here this morning.
I'm excited to be here.
Quick break. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
The James Monroe Museum in downtown Fredericksburg, our focus this morning. Lindsay Crawford is here along with President Monroe and Ethan Burgess. Before we get into some of the things, President Monroe, the building right now that the building that houses the museum, was that your law office?
No, it was not. I grew up, or Jay Harrison grew up, knowing it as the James Monroe Museum, and scholars at that time were not acquainted with the more modern scholarship that we do today, and didn't realize that the building that sits there now is combine three buildings. They're linear, and they're all connected, and they're mm-hmm. early 19th century buildings. The frame building that was Monroe's law office sat on that same lot, but okay. disappeared after Monroe sold the property and moved to Albemarle County. And from that, at some point, those buildings were built. But everyone growing up, Jay Harrison included, were acquainted with, that's where James Monroe practiced law. It's not the building. It's on the site, it's not the building. And that's conclusive, 100%. And back in the 1980s, late 80s, UMW, Mary Washington College at that time, mm-hmm. did the architectural study that confirmed through both scholarship, historic research, and through architectural analysis, the building that was the case.
If I were to ask Jay Harrison, is there any artifact in that museum that's one of his favorites, would he have a favorite?
All the objects that these kind people, especially Lindsay, her colleagues Jared Kearney and Scott Harris, have so carefully caretaken in the course of generations of people who have been involved at the museum, have collected and have increased the size of the collection. There are many, many things there that hold personal satisfaction. And I would be hard-pressed to say which one would be my favorite, actually.
I like the desk. The desk, to me, I could just stand there and just stare at it for hours.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. The desk probably is the most popular one mm-hmm. of the items there associated with James Monroe's seventh annual message to Congress, December 2nd, 1823, which in Jay Harrison's time is known as the Monroe Doctrine, Lindsay's time, Ethan's time mm-hmm. Today. And I think that probably would be one that is a close.
Although the china that was that Mrs. Monroe had in the White House,
it was very pretty.
Yeah, that yes. is.
Yeah, we're actually doing a program in July. It's called Quilling, where you take small paper and you like roll it with Lana Lonchek. She's a artist, and she's taking one of those designs from the china, and we're making it into an art piece. So we're really excited for that. Yeah, it's July 19th. So that's one of the fan favorites as well. The kids love it as well mm-hmm. to be able to look at the birds and the all the flowers and everything. So
the one interesting thing when you mentioned that Jay Harrison works at the Smithsonian there, mm-hmm. especially at the James Monroe Museum, but a lot of the museums around here, we've got some really mm-hmm. interesting things at museums around here that you don't have to drive up to D.C. to see at the Smithsonian.
We do indeed. And now we're in a time that we're very involved in talking about cultural diversity and dealing mm-hmm. with all cultures that make up this great melting pot of our nation, Indigenous Americans, African Americans, and we have a fascinating collection of museums that address multiple topics that are important and germane today. I agree.
So let's jump into Tavern Night. That is happening on June 7th, Lindsay. Talk about that.
Yeah, so I'll let Ethan kind of go into the details of what it is, but we've worked with Ethan in the past. He's a great partner, and as soon as we found out about his Tavener, persona, we were really excited to work with him. It's on June 7th, starting at 5 o'clock, and it ends at 9 o'clock. It's on the hour. We've already sold a lot of tickets, actually, $35 a person. And you come in, Ethan will do a presentation, and we'll have a toast with President Monroe, followed by a free tour of the museum and special one-on-one time with the curator, Jared Kearney. He'll have some special artifacts on display to talk about. We're really excited to have it. 7 o'clock's already sold out, which just shows how popular Ethan is already. As soon as it was Live, someone called me and said, hey, I need the 7 o'clock spot. So, but we have tickets left for 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 8 o'clock. So, yeah, Ethan, do you want to talk a little bit more about your presentation?
Absolutely. This is really exciting also because it's on a first Friday so that someone could come downtown, walk around for a bit, come to this event, explore what we have to offer, and then continue their evening. With my business, The Taverner, if anyone wants to look at it, it's thetaverner.com. You can see a little bit of what I offer. What I'll be doing is for the first 30 minutes of the presentation, be building the punch, ingredient by ingredient, allowing you to look at the ingredients, sniff them, if you will. The Demerara sugar in particular has a different kind of smell than a lot of modern sugars. So, so be going through it step by step and telling some of the interesting stories and bits of history that have led to its evolution. I mean, it was the most popular form of beverage for 200 years straight. So there's a lot of information to be tied to that. So we'll be spending about 30 minutes doing that. And then President Monroe will give a toast and talk about some of his experiences as president, and we'll also be serving some Madeira wine, which was a very popular form of wine that many founding fathers enjoyed.
When you work and find the ingredients, how difficult is that?
Not difficult at all.
Okay.
Well, it depends on the ingredient. For most standard punches, you can find any of the core ingredients, which are water, sugar, spice, alcohol, and citrus. You can find all of those very easily. But there's a few things that are, for a few different punch recipes that are difficult to find. But I won't be doing anything like that. It's a matter of the process. It's how you build it step by step, how you use the ingredients. You don't want to use just lemon juice from a bottle. You want to squeeze the lemons and you want to peel them. You want to, create an oleosaturum, which I'll explain a little bit at the event, so there's a lot more to it.
Wow. It sounds like it. What a unique business you have built and especially around here, but, this could translate anywhere.
Yeah. That's my hope is that, that I could bring living history to anyone's doorstep, that you don't have to go to a physical location because if someone has, let's say someone, is at home and they can't make it to a historic site, but what if they want access to some of these things? It's not every day that someone could just come to their home and there doesn't even have to be any punch involved. I could just go and just talk about some of the life in the 18th century, some of the fashion and some of the history. So I think that there's some great opportunity there.
Have you found me because both you and the president? I guess you're both dressed this morning in the dress
clothes.
The dress of the time. Mm-hmm. That if we were having this conversation, and President Monroe were actually here, this would be what you two would be wearing.
Yeah, and this is mostly how we'll be dressed at the event. And this is an example of how you could interact with us. Yes, we're both wearing clothes from the 18th century, but we can talk to you about them in different ways. He could speak about the clothing from James Monroe's personal experience, his own personal taste and how he acquired them, whereas I could speak a little bit more about what we know from modern times about 18th century clothing. So that's just how there's so many different ways to delve into information.
Ethan, there's a book in your future, I think.
Okay. I have officially been charged.
I think that there should be a book at some point about all of this because I think there is interest in these kinds of things.
No pressure.
Not at all. So the president will give a toast.
Yes.
What kind of toasts President Monroe would have given?
As you just brought up, it's going to be a surprise. I have a couple I'm working on right now. So,
okay.
And I think you will find it appropriate for the occasion. So I'll leave it as a surprise. You'll have to come, Ted.
Okay. to find out what is. So speaking of the dress in everything, I mean, That's what James Monroe looked like in any of the pictures I've ever seen.
This is the attire I know of. I wear it every day. So I'm known to be very conservative, so I wear a lot of black. And I'm also considered to be very old-fashioned. And I'm one of the last of my ilk, of my time period, to wear breeches. I don't favor trousers. Mm. And I have I prefer cocked hats. This is a bicorn.
Yeah.
Before I adopted, this is a French fashion that I adopted during my first part of my administration in 1817. Prior to that, I was known for wearing tricorns, which were woefully out of fashion by that time, the beginning of my administration. And I still have them. And when I'm not on duties, so to speak, at the president's house or about my home at Oak Hill or at Highland in Albemarle County, I often wear a tricorn. It's just old-fashioned.
Among the founding fathers, were you the youngest?
Well, I'm 66 right now, so I am the last of the founding fathers to have served. Although Andrew Jackson can make a case, he was a drummer boy during the American Revolution, not
okay.
a soldier, but we're talking about technicalities here. So one could consider him a member of the Revolutionary War generation as a teenager. He was, but I started my service at age 16. And while I was at the College of William and Mary and got involved.
Well, the fact that you're tied to Fredericksburg and all the things that you have accomplished.
Well, you're very kind, sir. Thank you.
Is just amazing. The things that you did as a young man. Not many young men do those kinds of things.
Well, there were opportunities that were presented to me. I showed an interest, and I was lucky and fortunate to avail myself of them. And I am very partial to the area, having been born in Westmoreland County at Monroe Hall, and I spent 2-3 years here in Fredericksburg as a young man with my family, as a practicing attorney, member of town council, St. George's Episcopal Vestry, and also as a delegate to for Spotsylvania County to the House of Burgesses.
Did you ever cross paths with the Washingtons?
The Washingtons are a little older than I. So as you pointed out, my being a younger member of generation, we lived about 5 miles from their family estate in Westmoreland. But by the time I was a young man, old enough to know, they had moved to Stafford County opposite Fredericksburg.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Fascinating stuff here this morning. We're going to take a quick break and continue along this morning talking about the James Monroe Museum. We have President Monroe here and his assistant, Jay Harrison, also here this morning. Lindsay Crawford is the public programs coordinator for the James Monroe Museum. And Ethan Burgess is here. He is an interpreter and doing a number of those kinds of things around the area and will be involved with the Tavern Night on June the 7th. Again, if you're interested in getting tickets, Lindsay, where's the best way to get those tickets?
So you call me, 540-654-2111. You can also email me at lcrawfor@umw.edu.
Okay, we'll give that again before we get out of here this morning. More coming up with the James Monroe Museum this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's now 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg Dot Today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
We are talking James Monroe Museum this morning with Lindsay Crawford. Jay Harrison is here as the assistant to President Monroe, who obviously is here, and Ethan Burgess is here, an interpreter involved with Tavern Night. Tavern Night again, June 7th. Make sure, Lindsay, you get your tickets because it doesn't sound like that they're going to be around all that much longer.
Yeah, they're selling quickly. As soon as I posted it on our Facebook page, I had a whole slot of 7 o'clock sold out. So we have some left for 5 o'clock, mostly left for 5 o'clock and 8 o'clock. They're on the hour. And we have a few left for 6 p.m. So if you're interested in buying tickets, 35 a person, that includes your tasting, your tour, and meeting the President Monroe. You can call me at 540-654-2111 to purchase your tickets, or call the museum, and you can also reach me there.
Who wouldn't want to have a selfie with President Monroe?
Hey, I have many. I have many.
There, see, that's my goal today.
Hey, listen, I think you might win your goal today. So
that's my one goal. Ethan, as someone who's kind of running this event, are there parts of this as you've done the research and everything that just really fascinate you?
I think I'll give Lindsay her credit. I think she'll be running the event.
I'm the herder.
Yes. Thank you. I think I will just be there doing what I love and having fun and talking to people. So, as I said earlier, it's really a community thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, decades later, they were talking about how at certain households in England, people would flock just to watch the punch be created. I mean, you obviously are there for the party and you're going to enjoy your beverage, but it's something that you want to spectate and mm-hmm. see the process. So I want to create some novelty and introduce that part back into living history a little bit.
Well, and like you said earlier, that there's so much more to this than a lot of us think. That mm-hmm. it's in just to be able to teach that kind of thing. That's why I think your book will be so informative when it comes yes. out.
But you know, in terms of what we'll actually have there that night, it'll be really exciting. The punch bowl I'll be using is a recreation punch bowl that's a blue and white. Delftware, and it's the same kind that Colonial Williamsburg uses for their recreation punch bowls. I managed to find one secondhand, so it's a recreation as close as possible to a legitimate punch bowl. We will not be passing the bowl around.
Didn't think so.
Yeah, that they called it the flowing bowl then sometimes. So for lots of concerns, we will not be sharing the bowl. Everyone will have their own glass. So. It'll be a lot of fun.
Fascinating, these type of events, and as Lindsay's talking about, just how the tickets have gone. These are popular events. People like to do this kind of thing and have the authentic thing, and to have the president there and everything associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, good stuff. Again, on June 7th, make sure you get your tickets to that, and we'll talk about how to do that before we get out of here this morning. There are a number of other things that the James Monroe Museum does, Lindsay, as far as events that are real fun kind of events. I will say one of the things, because you've got a history trivia coming up.
Yes, this Thursday we have some spots left for that as well. It's free. There will be a cash bar. We have what we call quiz masters. We try to work with local community members to come in and be our quiz master for the day, night, and ask questions. We're having Sam McKelvey, the new president and CEO of Fredericksburg Area Museum, another one of our friends, we like to say. So that starts at 6 p.m. We would love to have people there. When we hope to see you there, it'll be this Thursday.
I always felt like I was pretty good with history, that I'd been around here and I had gathered and I was always thought that I would be able to hold up pretty well with history. And you know, Jeopardy, a lot of Jeopardy questions I would know.
I think you've got an application for a quizmaster.
Oh, no. Wait. Then I went to history trivia. And I was...
You get humbled a little bit,
yeah,
right?
I was very humbled.
I've worked with Scott to lower them a little bit to make them a little easier. But
thank
it's still
you.
Good. Yeah.
Thank you.
Listen, history is important.
He's not here.
The lessons are... Yeah, he'll probably kick me later.
Because sometimes people want to fight over an easy one where everyone's shouting at the same time.
Yeah. Like sometimes it's like, come on, let's, you know... Who's the fifth president, right? Like, keep it easy. Something fun we do is we have the quizmaster pick a... history, like trivia section that they want to do. So you'll just have to find out what we're doing for Sam's. But yeah, it's nice. And I'm trying to make the balance of learning something new, but also recalling some information. So
it's really a fun time.
Yeah, it's a blast.
It really is a fun time. President Monroe is oftentimes
4th of July.
I've been quizmaster. Yeah, usually doing July 4th often. And I'm impressed with the knowledge base of the citizens who turn out for that event. Some of them are very, very skilled and could be on the show you call Jeopardy, I think.
Yes, they are. There really are some smart people. When is your birthday? Because I've been there and had birthday cake.
April 28th.
Okay.
1758. Now, I'm not advertising, but there it is.
but that's always been fun. Different times when there's been birthday cake for the president. And there is also and there are times when Mrs. Monroe makes an appearance.
She was just there the other day, actually.
She was. Yeah. We did. We had International Family Day that Lindsay coordinated and was very successful on a Saturday. Just a week and a half or so ago.
A week ago. Yeah.
Yeah. It was great fun, and it was wonderful to see the townspeople and Mrs. Monroe and our daughter Mariah Hester were there as well. So we had a lovely day. It was lovely weather too.
Well, as president, I mean, you were an ambassador. Mm-hmm. Somewhere. I can't remember
France,
where.
France, England, and Spain.
That's right, France,
exactly,
yeah.
Exactly, exactly. And I had two occasions where I spent two different trips as ambassador to France under George Washington and under Jefferson.
To be able to represent the country like that had to be not only an honor, but also a learning experience.
A learning experience, and also it's a pressure experience too as well, because I'm dealing with international relations, a young country trying to find its way in the world and to try and establish relations with old monarchies in Europe and other nations around the world. So it was a very learning, exactly, very much a learning experience for me.
And when you mention, we often don't think about this when we're talking about the founding fathers or the early days of our country. When we were a young country, we weren't the country that we see today. That was seen as a worldwide power. We were, like you said, a young country.
Mm-hmm. At the conclusion of the American Revolution, we won our independence. You know, 13 colonies became 13 states, and now in my administration, we have now grown to 24 states, and it's a testament to the interest in the opportunities we offer to other people coming to this nation, and that's why you're seeing the nation grow westward right now, and the trials and tribulations that come moving westward.
Did Lewis and Clark go out under your watch?
That was under President Jefferson's administration.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
In 1803.
Yeah.
But just recently, April 30th of this year, 1824, I just signed a National Survey Act that's surveying all the public infrastructure improvements, including canals, toll roads, roads, public and private, that will help us begin to improve how people move westward.
Okay.
And Henry Clay has been very involved with that as well.
They had toll roads even then.
Mm-hmm. Were they as controversial as they are today?
Yeah, somewhat. Exactly. Some people were upset about having to pay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, can't blame them.
James Monroe Museum, and James Monroe here this morning, among other guests we have. Lindsay Crawford, we've talked about history trivia, sketchy history.
Yeah, we rescheduled it. I'm so sorry. I'm blanking on the date right now. I can get it for you after the break.
It is June 20th.
Well, thank you. I was thinking it was that, but I appreciate you doing your research. June 20th, it's another free event. It's something that predates me, but it's basically Pictionary with history. So we have people come in. You get to draw based off different history prompts. There's also a cash bar. So book your spot today. It's free once again.
Again, and these are the kinds of things you come and you see. You learn something, but you have a lot of fun. And museums are really good at this. But museums in general try to offer these kinds of things.
Yeah,
now.
I think we've shifted from being just like a site that you're learning academically, but also enjoying the site. And I think that's where the generations are trying to meet in the middle, because it's important to, like as Ethan says, make history accessible and fun. And even if we're just getting people in the doors for programming, children, everything like that, I think it's very important. So we try to offer a variety of different events, from lectures to things like sketchy history.
As far as for President Monroe, I know a few years ago when you did some traveling around the country with an exhibit that highlighted some things in your administration.
That's right. Lindsay worked on an exhibit involving the the tours of President Monroe. In 1817, I went north. That's why you saw me.
I saw you in Michigan.
In the Michigan Territory. I was on the northern tour states and to look at our military installations and to talk about the improvements to such, because they were growing decrepit in some situations. But more importantly, presidents at that time, there were very few people who had the opportunity to actually see a president. So to acquaint them with a president, I made the rounds, literally, and that's how, through the northern, and then I also did a tour in 1818, the Chesapeake Bay, and then 1819 of the southern states to acquaint all those 13 states and the territories as well with who it was they elected to president, whether they were for me or for, against me, to acquaint them with my policies, my goals, and the works of the administration to improve their lives. So
people back in those days didn't have towers like we have in our, the backyard here.
Right, these magic boxes that all of you all carry that take these heavy,
yes,
very small artists that paint rapid pictures.
Right, exactly. All of that.
All that.
Lindsay, to put stuff like this together, I mean, it had to be thrilling to be able to especially to have the president go to these various just to recreate this kind of thing. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. There's power in small museums, and I'm very blessed to be at a museum that lets me be creative and flexible and also include more diverse programming. It's also a pleasure to work very community-based. As you know, Fredericksburg is very community-based, so working with people like Ethan, the taverner, who I've worked with in the past because he works at at the tavern specifically, or are you Washington Heritages in general?
Washington Heritages.
Washington Heritages, yeah. So it's great to partner with different people, and it's always a fun time. And we love having a first person and third interpretation, which is a new difference that we're kind of seeing. Mm-hmm. It's a pleasure. It can be a lot sometimes.
If I walk into the James Monroe Museum today, what kind of exhibits are up?
So we still have, you were talking about the curator chats earlier, we still have some of those artifacts on a display that we don't see often, with QR codes that you can scan and see those. We have the American Revolution Gallery, where my favorite artifact, James Monroe's vest, where you can see your left shoulder, mm-hmm, sir? He was wounded during the war, so the stitching is very faint, but you can see the difference in how his shoulder sat.
Really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we have American in Paris Gallery, where you talk about your time in Paris, and also the White House burning, which a lot of kids find so shocking when they come in the door.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
The QR codes, boy, that talk about something that changes and lets you tell stories in different ways.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I did research on that for my thesis when I was in grad school. But yeah, QR codes give you access to things that you wouldn't be able to see or hear. We've used that during the pandemic. I'll give Scott credit. He promised us not to sleep on QR codes. He wasn't wrong. They came back to life really, mm-hmm, really big in 2020. So, yeah.
Interesting stuff. Again, I say, if you've not been to the James Monroe Museum in Fredericksburg,
please visit. We always love having guests.
You are missing just a lot of the artifacts. Even just the store has gotten. I have bought things from the store that have and given for gifts.
Yeah, and our office and store manager Bethel just got back from the Museum Store Association's conference. That is a thing, and has bought a lot of new products. So come July, there's going to be a lot of new things in the store. So come on by.
Interesting. And you never know when you come by the museum when you might. The president might
be
there.
You never know. I try to advertise it a lot when he is in town.
You're very kind.
But yes, no, definitely keep an eye on our social media. We post mostly on Facebook as our main space.
James Monroe Museum on Charles Street, 908 Charles Street in Fredericksburg is the focus this morning. When we come back, we'll talk again about Tavern Night and wrap it up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning with the James Monroe Museum. Ethan Burgess is here. Lindsay Crawford is here. Jay Harrison is here assisting his boss, President Monroe. And I will say, to both Jay and to the president. It is such an honor to have both of you here this morning. That you're one of the few people that I have not had you ever in as guests, and so this is such a highlight.
I'm very honored, Ted. It's so, a dear friend, and I'm happy to be here.
It's great having you, and Lindsay and Ethan. I've gotten to know you over the course of a few years, and it's great to have you guys too, and in what you bring to the James Monroe Museum. Lindsay, again, June 7th, Tavern Night. It's a big deal. It's going to be a fun event.
Yes, yes. And like I said, we're selling out fast. So 5, 6 o'clock, and 8 o'clock are still open. The tours are about an hour, 35 a person. You can call at 540-654-2111 to book your tickets today.
And Ethan, you do this kind of thing. You have studied this, and mm-hmm. this is more than just, hey, this is yes. how they did it. This is how they did it.
The great news is you don't have to, you know, wait for this event, or you'd be sad if you miss it, because I can come and do this anytime for, you know, any museum or at your home for a private party. So if you want to book a presentation between now and June 7th, you could try the same recipe.
Get a sneak peek.
Yeah. So if someone wants to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
TheTaverner.com or TavernerFXBG@gmail.com. And you can find my social media there as well. So,
when that book comes out, you come on in here, and
you've really put me on the spot.
We're gonna
on that.
Do. We're gonna do
museum store now.
We're gonna do right. It'll be in the museum store, and we'll do a show and talk about this more in depth. President Monroe, before you get out of here, I was talking to another historian the other day, and they were telling me that he's noticed that there's a lot of younger people coming to a lot of these programs that. These historic kind of programs. Do you see that when you're out in the community?
It's interesting. Ethan and I just had a conversation before we began this interview today, and talking about the state of interpretation. Mm. I will admit today that there's been some concern about the interest level of
right.
the younger people. Those that work with Jay Harrison have said that his age group are beginning to age out in various living history and reenacting groups. But folks like Lindsay and Ethan bring new synergy and energy to mm-hmm. the table now, in new ways, formats to educate young people and get them interested, are thinking outside the box, literally, to bring people in. Because some of the old ways we used to interest people seem not to be working as well. So we want to make sure
yeah.
that there are succeeding generations interpreting history, culture, museums, and getting involved at younger ages. So I think these kinds of programs that involve, they're very interactive and still involve me, which is very exciting to be still involved as your president. I'm very happy to be here. So that's one of the things I've noticed in my career.
Before we get out of here, there's an event you got on June the 2nd.
Yeah, on top of everything else. So we have Tea and Trifles. Our lovely guide, Heather Meadows, started doing programming with us. She does a presentation followed by tea tasting, and it's all based off one of her original books, Colonial Cooking. But this event, Tea and Trifles, is Pirates and Petticoats. So please join us and socialize when you learn about a brief history of female piracy. So we have about like 4 tickets left, so they're selling fast too. They're about 25 each. You can purchase those on our website at jamesmonroemuseum.umw.edu, and it's on June 2nd at 2 p.m.
Stay up to date with a great Facebook page for the James
you.
Monroe Museum that has all kinds of good stuff about these and in all kinds of events. Thank you all.
This has been just
an honor to have you all here, and just some good stuff. And it's always great to talk about a place like the James Monroe Museum that has such interesting things, and it's right in our backyard. Don't overlook it. 908 Charles Street.
You're most welcome, Ted. Thank you.
Thank you all for being here, and we will talk again soon. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. We will see you in the morning.
Thanks for for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.